Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi there, and welcome to this Adept English podcast. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of podcasts like this one from Adept English, all available on our website. You know what I'm going to say? You can download them in bundles of 50 podcasts for a small fee. If you can understand the podcasts well and you really want to get going on your English language learning, then going to our website at adeptenglish.com and having a look at our podcast bundles, if I can even say it, is a good idea. And if you're listening on one of the many platforms, don't forget to give us a positive rating. And if you want to practice your English writing, then please give us a review. One of the things I notice at the moment is that people's anxiety seems to have grown. It seems that the pandemic and the lockdown have had an effect, making lots of people more anxious. The noun anxiety, A-N-X-I-E-T-Y, and the adjective anxious, A-N-X-I-O-U-S, can be difficult for English language learners. The trick is that the X is pronounced as a Z in anxiety, and the X is pronounced as a SH, sh, sound in the word anxious, anxiety and anxious. Anxiety is another word for fear or worry, and anxious is an adjective to describe the person who has worry or fear. And it's that particular kind of fear that happens when something is going round and round in your head. It might be when you're in bed trying to sleep. Anyway, I'm seeing a lot of anxiety in my practice. As you might expect, some of the anxiety is about the actual pandemic. So this could be anxiety about catching the virus, especially if you're someone with a health condition, a medical condition that increases your risk of being ill. Some people are anxious about getting the vaccine. Does it work? Is it safe? And others are understandably anxious because the pandemic is making it hard for them to work, to do their jobs. Their businesses may be closed and money may be an issue, or they're anxious about whether their business is going to be able to get back to normal. So many of those things are what we might call real-world anxieties. They're worries which are valid, which are real, which are understandable in the real world. I'm sure we've all got some real-world anxieties, either about the pandemic and its effect or about other aspects of our lives. Then there are those anxieties which start off as real-world worries, but which seem to grow out of proportion. They become bigger than they should be. Sometimes people can be completely taken up with anxiety that doesn't really seem valid to other people. It doesn't seem to be about something that's worth worrying about or something which is likely to happen. Of course, here you could be talking about something like a phobia, P-H-O-B-I-A. This is a more extreme fear, a more extreme anxiety. We use this word phobia in English, and I suspect in many other languages too, to describe what you would call an irrational fear. Irrational means that it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's not rational. Irrational is the opposite of rational. So something like dendrophobia, a fear of trees, might fall into this category. Someone who has an extreme fear of trees, it might be real to them, very real to them, but it doesn't make sense to anyone else. You might say, how can a tree hurt you? But it's very real to the dendrophobic person. But the vast majority of people who have too much anxiety, what it's really about is a tendency to worry too much. Their anxiety isn't as extreme as phobia, and their anxiety is based around real-world concerns, but it's just it seems to have got bigger than it should be. Somehow the anxiety and the anxious thinking are being fueled. It's like there is a little flame of anxiety, and without intending to, you give the anxiety lots of fuel, lots of oxygen, and it burns out of control. I think it's helpful to identify when it's what I call anticipatory anxiety, meaning anxiety that's in anticipation of an event or a situation. To anticipate in English, anticipate, that's a long one, means to think about something in the future, to expect a future happening. It could be a meeting that you've got in the morning with a customer at work, or it could be that visit to the dentist that you've been putting off because of your anxiety about the dentist. This anticipatory anxiety, anxiety about a forthcoming or a future event, is normal to a point. If you've got a customer meeting in the morning and you're worried about it, then it's sensible to prepare. Make sure you've read the necessary material, you've got the necessary documents. Perhaps also you've decided what your route to the customer's office will be. You've looked at the train timetable or what route you'll take in your car. These are sensible, real-world preparations, and sometimes just doing those will bring down your level of anxiety. You can say to yourself, I've got a meeting in the morning, I don't know how it's going to go, but I've done all the preparations, I've thought about how I'm going to get there, there's nothing more I can do about it now. I'm going to bed so that I'll be feeling good in the morning. Job done, as we say. But what happens for lots of people, we've all done this, I'm sure, instead of stopping there, where you've done the sensible preparation and the sensible worrying, you've done all you can for now, instead of stopping there, your mind continues to think about that meeting tomorrow, and your thinking goes way beyond the practical or the real world view. You start to say to yourself, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? What if the customer is really difficult? What if my presentation goes badly? What if I freeze in the middle of it? What if they don't show up to the meeting? What if my train is late? What if they ask me questions and I don't know the answers? Will they think I'm an idiot? And if it's really bad, you might get to, what if they don't like me personally? Or what if my throat closes up when I'm trying to speak? Or what if the roof falls in? This what if questioning can be really bad. It tends to take on a negative feeling, and before you've realised it, you're playing out in your mind all the different ways in which your meeting could go wrong. Some of them might be more likely, and some of them much less likely, and some of them might be extremely unlikely to happen. But if you can imagine them, if you can see them in your mind, then it becomes something bigger and more real to worry about. The more time that you spend doing this, the more anxious you become. And if you make this into a habit, you get better and better at using your imagination, like this, negatively. We tend to talk about your imagination, imagination, your capacity to see things in your mind, your creative ability, if you like. We tend to talk about imagination as though it's always positive, always good. And it is if you use it for positive things. But if you use your imagination to visualise, to see in your mind all the things that could possibly go wrong with what you have to do tomorrow, then this isn't positive. It's a negative use of your imagination. And it can be very anxiety fueling for people. It takes the tiny flame of your worry and it piles on lots of fuel, gives it lots of oxygen till it becomes a big fire. Or to put it another way, you water the weeds. A weed, W-E-E-D, is a plant, and it's a plant that's growing in the wrong place. There's nothing wrong with this plant except that it's growing in your vegetable patch where you planted your carrots. You didn't put it there, and it's taking water and nutrients that your carrots need. If instead of removing the weeds, you water them and you feed them, then they're going to grow. And so it is with anxiety and worry. Beyond the sensible preparation, the more time you spend watering your weeds, the bigger the anxiety gets and the more anxious you become. And there's no advantage in doing this. There's no upside. So one good piece of advice, learn to spot when your anticipatory anxiety has got out of control and it's gone beyond what's needed for good preparation. Notice when you're using your imagination to water the weeds and try to stop it. Go and do something nice instead. Read a book, phone a friend, watch TV, listen to a podcast. Or if it's in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep, do a meditation or a relaxation exercise instead. But the first step is to notice that you're doing this. And it's very sneaky. That means it's like a thief. It creeps up on you. The more you realise you're doing this, the less anxious you will be. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.